What order does it follow? Well, let me describe it. You see, an oyster, which is just a little shell animal, its home is a shell. You could hold it in the palm of your hand, and it adheres to the hard places on the ocean's floor. It's made up of very delicate, sensitive bodily tissue inside that shell. And sometime in its history, in order for a pearl to be formed, along the side, the cracks at the side, there is a foreign object, usually a grain of sand, that creeps in between the parts of the shell as it is opening or closing and becomes embedded there. It is a source of irritation. It cuts. It grinds. It bruises. It irritates. It's like having cracker crumbs in your bed and trying to sleep in your bed with those cracker crumbs there. It irritates constantly. It begins to cut and sting and hurt. Now, when it does, the instinct of self-preservation begins to take over immediately inside that oyster, which God built into every one of His creatures. And it immediately, quickly sends out a secretion of a slimy, thick substance that begins to harden the moment it is secreted. It is known as nacre. It is commonly known today as mother of pearl. Here's what it does. It isolates that little piece of sand over at the side, secretes that substance all the way around it, and it immediately hardens. But it doesn't stop there. I read and was told that by the reading that it takes about 7 years for a full pearl to form, and that's somebody's estimate on the basis of study. And here's what it does. It continues to secrete that substance until it covers it over again and again and again and again and repeats it until that pearl is formed and it hardens, and then it is a brilliant color, almost white. More beautiful than white. It's off white. And yet it's never been seen by the eyes of anybody. It's still embedded there in that shell home. Now that's the sequence of a pearl's formation. How like the church that is. A source of irritation struck the side of Jesus Christ. He immediately emitted from Himself a covering for that source of irritation. It has gone on repeated constantly again and again and again and again for 2,000 years. Every time a human being who was the source of irritation to Christ because he was a sinner touched that side of Christ, that secretion, as it were, went out and covered him. There you have the perfect righteousness of Christ responding to the sins of man. And Jesus, being sensitive to man's sin, man's heart, man's need, put out His righteousness to cover it up. It has been repeated over and over and over and over and over and over again for 2,000 years now. And every time one of those sources of irritation gets to that side and that covering goes over, you have another part of the pearl. Every born-again, righteousness-covered saint of God is a part of that pearl. And throughout this age, He's forming that pearl by that sequence over and over and over again. Consider the speed of a pearl's formation. A pearl does not form overnight. It is not the product of a day. It is the product of a series of time, a sequence of time. It is not formed suddenly. It occurs very slowly and very gradually. How like the Church of Jesus Christ for 19 centuries now. The righteousness of Christ has been going out to one humble, repenting, faith-trusting sinner after another. So that it has covered him over and gone to another, covered him over, covered him over, covered him over, continually going on. And on and on. And slowly through 19 centuries, He has been forming Himself one pearl of great price, His church. The most valuable thing a person can do with his life is to invest it in that which the pearl represents right here, the true church of Jesus Christ. Because that's His second treasure in history. And consider the suffering of the pearl, of the oyster in forming the pearl. A pearl is a product of suffering. You see, the pearl is the answer to a wounded side. It's what forms because a wound occurred in the side of the animal that hurt. The church is the answer to Jesus' wounded side, just like Adam was alone, the first Adam. And because God saw that it was not good that he should be alone, He put him into a deep sleep, performed a surgery, and took out of one of his sides woman. And she was the product of his wounded side. You see, Adam is a type of Christ, the last Adam. Eve is a type of the church. And the church comes out of the wounded side of Christ, just as that pearl is formed in the wounded side of that animal. It comes out of the wounded side of Christ, which means that every person who is a born-again Christian is a part of the wounds of Christ in the formation of the church. That means the wounds, the travail, the hurt, the agony of Jesus is what forms the church. But listen carefully. It is the very offending thing. It is the wounding thing. It is the very irritating particle that ultimately becomes the object of beauty. That means that that which injured the oyster becomes the pearl. How? You see, it's clothed with the beauty of the one that is injured. And that's the way the church is formed. Jesus Christ makes himself real inside the individual, covers him over with his righteousness, and he enters the true church. That's the formation of the church, just like the formation of a pearl. Now, secondly, we need to see here the finding of that pearl. The formation was not enough. A merchant man went out one day seeking goodly pearls. Now, this finding is broken down into three parts. It involves a search, a seeking. He went out seeking goodly pearls. Now, the word seeking here is a unique word. It's not the usual word for a search. It's a word that means to seek by leaving one place and going to another. And here you have the departure of Jesus out of heaven, his arrival upon the earth in order to do one thing, to seek and to save that which was lost. So it involves a search. Then it involves a selection. There were many goodly pearls, many values he could have selected. And there are quite a number of distinct companies among the believers in God, in Christ. There's the Old Testament believer, who is distinct from a member of the true church. There's the tribulation believer, who is saved out of the great tribulation, but he's distinct from the church, which only covers this age. So he came seeking goodly pearls, but he found one pearl of great price. And you see, that's where you come in, because you are a part of that. You have the privilege in this age of forming a part of the church, the one great pearl of great price possessed by Jesus. Now, the one pearl means that the church is unified. And that's strange. You see, it takes the eye of God to see that, because you look at the church, you see Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Lutherans, Roman Catholics, Greek Orthodox Catholics. You see all kinds of people making the avowed church of Jesus Christ. But God doesn't see that. You see, the old song is right. We are not divided. All one body we. One in faith and hope, one in charity. All people who know Jesus Christ are in the church, the true church. Not the visible church, but the church God recognizes, God knows, God acknowledges. And Jesus came to select that one pearl of great price, and then he secured it unto himself. The Bible says, when he found it, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now that's easy for me to say. And that's easy for you to listen to. But it's hard to understand, because all the agony of the ground swells of Calvary that just covered Jesus over in suffering, the suffering qualitatively of a hell for eternity in 6 hours on that cross, Jesus experienced for you and for me. Paul put it like this. He said, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he himself was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." He exchanged a mansion for a manger. And it was not the low spot of that manger. It was his coming at all that was a part of the paying of the price. And then he went to Calvary and was beaten and bludgeoned as if he were the only person who ever deserved to die a sinner's death, because he became in that hour the greatest sinner who ever lived, and was treated by God, by man, by heaven and hell just exactly like he were the greatest sinner that ever lived. He sold all that he had in order to be able to buy that pearl. And he secured it unto himself. Let me have a last moment to talk about the future of that pearl. Now, this parable does not talk about that. Why? Why would it not speak of the future? It simply says he went and sold all that he had and bought that pearl, but it doesn't say anything about what happened to it. Why? Because this parable does not concern what happens after this age. It concerns only what happens up to the second coming of Christ to the earth. That's this kingdom age. And the future of the pearl is wrapped up in eternity, primarily. All the glory that you'll see in it, that is in essence as to what it is wrapped up in eternity. You do not see it now.